From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting the U.S. prepares to step up the fight against the Islamic State. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter, in remarks to U.S. lawmakers Wednesday, said the United States is prepared to do more in taking the fight to the Islamic State in both Iraq and Syria, saying Washington is prepared to increase its assistance as Iraq tries to retake the provincial capital, Ramadi.
Over the past several months, the coalition has provided specialized training and equipment, including combat engineering techniques like in-stride breaching and bulldozing, and munitions like AT-4 shoulder-fired missiles to stop truck bombs, up to the Iraqi army and its counterterrorism service units that are now beginning to enter Ramadi neighborhoods from multiple directions.
But he deflected demands for a greater U.S. ground presence.
By seeming to Americanize the conflicts in Iraq and Syria, we could well turn those fighting ISIL or inclined to resist their rule into fighting us instead. As Chairman Dunford testified last week, quote, ISIL would love nothing more than a large presence of U.S. forces on the ground in Iraq and Syria so that they could have a call to jihad.
In Baghdad Wednesday, Britt McGurk, the U.S. official in charge of the coalition against the IS, said hundreds of civilians are trapped in central Ramadi, subjected to booby-trap buildings and the ongoing fighting. He says IS fighters are taking human shields as hostages. U.S. airstrikes in support of the Iraqi forces continued Wednesday, hitting large IS tactical units, vehicles, command and control centers, and bomb factories. Torrential rains and flooding left more than 30 dead and forced tens of thousands from their homes in the capital of Democratic Republic of Congo over the past 3 weeks. The flooding has overwhelmed the main water collection station, preventing more residents of Kinshasa access to drinkable water. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry Wednesday said he plans to travel to Moscow next week for talks with Russian leaders on Ukraine and the political settlement in Syria. Mr. Kerry said despite Russia's military and political interests in Damascus, Moscow has been constructive in trying to find a political settlement to end the Syrian conflict. John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
They have been able to help bring other parties to the table in Vienna. And I'm not going to get into every diplomatic discussion and every bit of nuance in the communiques that have been filed after the Vienna meetings, but I can assure you that the Russians have been integral to getting to those texts and to helping what is now 18 countries plus the Arab League and the EU together in the room and helping everybody unify around some core principles, such as ISIL's got to go, such as it has to be a Syrian-led political transition process in Syria.
Mr. Kerry's trip to Moscow expected to precede a possible international meeting in New York December 18 on efforts to push the Syrian political process forward. A Taliban assault on a key airport in southern Afghanistan killed 37 and wounded 35 others as clashes continued into Wednesday. Meanwhile, Taliban militants overran a district in neighboring Helmand province, leaving 14 policemen dead and several others wounded. President Obama reaffirmed what he called the unbreakable bond between the U.S. and Israel during a White House meeting Wednesday with visiting Israeli President Reuven Rivlin. He said the U.S. wants to be helpful in reducing tensions with Palestinians. Recent unrest between the two have left dozens dead since early October.
I've been very clear in condemning the violence that is recurring inside of Israel, the need for leaders like President Abbas to unequivocally condemn the violence that's been taking place, the need to end incitement, but also the need for Israelis and Palestinians to find mechanisms in which to dialogue and arrive at peace.
The two countries are currently negotiating a 10-year security agreement. Dissident Russian tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky said Wednesday a revolution in the country is inevitable. Addressing a conference in London, Khodorkovsky, former head of Russia's Yukos oil company, accused President Vladimir Putin of having presided over a full-fledged unconstitutional coup. South African President Jacob Zuma has fired his finance minister, Nlenle Nene, in the wake of a credit rating downgrade to just one position above sub-investment grade by Fitch. The South African economy is barely growing, squeezed by low commodity prices. The two have disagreed over the financing of a nuclear power plant in an effort to ease a power shortage. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.